Welcome to episode 191 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a run to PB coach. And tonight, we've got something special tonight. Sadly, well, unfortunately, Zach has had a call up and he's offered a corporate gig. But in his place, we've got fellow run to PB coach and, look, let's be honest, media superstar, Elise Beacon. Welcome back. You've been promoted, mate. You're co-host now. It was only a matter of time.
Oh, thanks, Crusoe. It's a big responsibility. I don't know if I'm up to the task, but Zach is on the bench tonight, so I'll give it a red hot go.
You'd probably earn a week off. Zach has done, this is episode 191, and I reckon he's been here for 189 of them. So he's due a week off. Obviously, someone out there has been very impressed with his work and called him up for a bit of corporate responsibility tonight. So hopefully that all goes well. But mate, you could actually raise the standard tonight.
Oh, I don't know about that. But you know, Zaka, this must be a pretty big gig because he doesn't say no to doing this podcast much between Valentine's Day and his birthday, and he never cancels other plans. So must be real big dogs.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear how it all unfolds. Might maybe some snippets on the socials over the next couple of days. But it takes a lot for Zaka to not front up to the podcast. So yeah, looking forward to a report from the great man next week. But speaking of big things that's been happening, Zaka can't join us. But mate, were you at your computer at around 6 p.m. last night? Were you armed with your debit or credit card ready to make some purchases?
Oh, no, I was not. I'm trying to think what I was doing at 6 p.m., but I can't really remember. Were you at your computer making purchases at 6 p.m.? And if so, what were said purchases?
Well, sadly, I was not. I was out coaching. Shepherd and Runners Club, bless their cotton socks. I love them. And every Tuesday, every Thursday, 6 o'clock, that's where I am. So no, couldn't make the computer, but Ernie Old and Shu, probably one of the best marriages that have ever been made. They've gotten together, released some very exclusive kit. And I thought, that's okay. 7:30-ish, I've got a committee meeting with the Runners Club. Whilst they're getting ready, I'll sit down, jump on, order the kit, looked absolutely mint. We'll go through that at the moment, but mate, 7:25, jumped on, got the card out, fumbling around, putting my details in because I'm a bit nervous, and then sold out in my size. 1 hour and 25 minutes into sale time. No smalls, no small men's singlets. And I guess, look, that's the problem with the running community, that most people are on the small side of things. But just composed myself and thought, you know what, I'm happy to wear a medium. So I bought a medium singlet. I've embraced that things don't have to fit like a glove just because I was that impressed with the design. So medium singlet, pair of socks, $125 later, just ensured that I do need to keep working for some time. I tell you what, it puts a bit of extra pep in your step heading back into workplace knowing that you've just committed to buying yet another set of running kit that you didn't need but wanted. So in my view, it was essential.
Absolutely. It's an investment in future you. Do you know where you're going to debut the kit?
Oh, probably. Look, given that most of my races, the uniform that I have to wear is dictated to by me, so it's unfortunately not going to come out at XCR, but going to be myself and Anna will be some of the best dressed runners getting around Shepparton with some of our training kit, that's for sure.
Did Anna get one too? Are you going to be like twinning it up?
Not sure if she has as yet. She is a lot more responsible than I am. I will tend to buy a lot of things that I don't need, whereas she's a lot more smarter, has a lot more self-control. So I haven't had a chance to ask her as yet, but she did comment and think that it looks absolute fire. For those people that haven't seen it, the white singlet with the green and gold sash across the chest, it looks so clean. I think, is that what the cool kids say these days? Are they still calling things clean?
I don't know.
Is
I'm
it
not cool.
fire? Yeah, like if there's anyone under the age of 25.
Think people say elite now,
Okay.
which is
Well,
kind of like weird in a running context.
yeah, well, I suppose, look, we probably would, we have elite dreams, but no, if we can at least just dress like it, that's part of the, doesn't hurt. I don't think we're hurting anyone by upping our fashion game, but no, green and gold sash, it's the closest I'll get to wearing Australian colours, and the green and gold matching socks as well. So,
Yeah, love it.
yeah.
They say dress for the job you want, so I reckon you're all over it.
Mate, if I wore these to work, I'd actually have much better work clothes than the rubbish that I need to wear to work. Shout out to my employers who pay me every fortnight. Thank you. But yeah, my running kit is far superior to the work clothes that I have to order once a year. And they just don't, yeah, work clothes don't ever fit properly when they're supplied in bulk. So yeah, but did you treat yourself? Did you splurge?
No, I did not. We actually just bought a house, so I'm living on the 2-minute noodle diet at the moment. And I think it'll be a while before I can buy any new running apparel or shoes. So I think I'm stuck with what I've got.
I can't believe you've prioritized the purchase of a house over some fresh running kit. That's
Honestly, me neither.
this
It's
doesn't like,
tragic.
yeah, young this young Elise would never have done this.
Yeah, she'd think, oh, what a boring loser.
Is like if anyone out there does feel sorry for you, is there a wish list or something they can jump on and help you purchase? Send her any
Oh
old
yeah, I'll make
shoe
one of those
combo.
a running registry. That would be pretty cool, actually. No, I wouldn't do that to anyone.
But if there is anyone out there listening, just
Yeah,
maybe
I love
slide
any
in.
old.
Slide into the Strava DMs.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of Ernie old kit though, Zaha dropped a little nugget towards the end of the episode where there's some run to PB Ernie old kit coming. You across this one, mate? Have you heard any whispers?
I have heard some whispers about this, and I'm pretty excited to have that Run to PB logo on that Italian fabric. That's all I can say.
Well, it's coming. Expect to see something very shortly about a pre-order because the goal is to have those people who are heading to Gold Coast being the best dressed people out there. So, Ernie Old, run to PB, it is happening. Pre-order will be dropping soon. Just keep your eyes peeled and it will be shared everywhere. I have seen a bit of a glimpse. Not the final edit, but I think like it. White singlet, nice bit of red across the middle, run to PB. It's little bit retro,
Oh,
little bit
nice.
clean. And as the kids say, as I've just learned, it's elite. No, it's definitely a solid 9 out of 10 on the singlet. And being predominantly white with some red, you can match this with anything. So whether you just want to wear elite kit or you're a bit more fashion orientated and you want to piece the whole thing together, you're going to have a range of options in this. So yeah,
Exciting.
mate, some fire merch dropping as we collab with the crew at Ernie Old. Hopefully there's not too many people cringing at my young hipster references. So anyway. Yeah, I'm excited. I think there's the vibes. It's up and about in the background. So, just waiting for Zaka to get the green light to share some pictures on the socials, and then, yeah, pre-orders away. Might even I'm not sure if there's a prerequisite that you have to even be in run to PB to purchase these. I think even if you're just a fan and you want to wear the kit, you might see it and think it's absolutely worth parting with some of your hard earned. Maybe you haven't just bought a house. Yeah, there is a bit of
Yeah.
disposable income there.
One footy tips on the weekend, splash out on a new singlet. Sounds good.
Might have backed a few winners at Nationals at Radelaide over the weekend, and
Yeah. You can't call it Radelaide anymore.
oh, I've heard that.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
disappoints me.
Look, it disappoints me too as a proud Radelaidian. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I think and it's kind of bad too because it's opened the door for people to make new nicknames like Madelaide and Sadelaide and Dadelaide.
So
I
mine.
don't think any of those are better than Radelaide.
No, like Radelaide's got a real sort of 80s cool, like it's like, oh yeah, that's funny. I like that. It's a bit of a dad joke, but I like it. Whereas, yeah, Madelaide, Sadelaide, I mean, my favorite laid was Marmalade, and that doesn't even get a mention. So
Oh, sad.
yeah,
Yeah.
sad, it's very
Adelaide.
Sadelaide. But what
Yeah, I don't know. I
is
think
this?
they kind of feel like it's condescending or something.
Is this something that the locals genuinely feel, or is this someone on a committee that took offense and went, "How dare you? Please refrain from doing this," because we're worried about the public image, or is this like something where the image, the public, just they do not care?
I think the public don't care. I've spoken, I did a little vox pop poll of a few Adelaide people on the weekend, and nah, they're all on board with Radelaide. I don't know. I think they're making a mountain out of a molehill here. And we've been called Radelaide for ages. It's just, it's kind of cool as well being from there. And then, like, over the weekend, Adelaide put on such a good show, and it was awesome because the National Athletics Championships were there. And you'd see interstaters and they're like, oh, Adelaide's actually like quite cool. But there was always a actually quite good, or like it was a real surprise.
There was no like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but yeah, nah. We also invented heaps good, by the way.
Oh, it's my name.
That came from South Australia.
Is there a time frame when this? Because I've been using that for a while. Certainly not claiming originality, but I didn't know that that's where it actually popped up from.
Yeah, it might be an urban legend, but I think from either, like,
Hence the name
I
Heaps Good
remember,
Runners.
yes, I think that is an Adelaide person.
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, not Sinead.
Not Sinead, no, though, funny gag.
No, Radelaide's just, it's a branding thing like that I can't believe. So the tourism South Australia, look, I'm just making up that that's actually the group that's what they're called. If not, they should be. Why haven't they embraced this? Because this could actually be a selling point. Like, come to Radelaide.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing could be just like a big marketing ploy to get people talking about Adelaide. And if in that case, if that was the case, like it's worked brilliantly because we've just spent about at least 4 minutes and 37 seconds talking about Adelaide. So, get the people going.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this podcast goes out to hundreds of people. Well,
They're all
absolutely.
booking tickets right now, I reckon.
Mate, Jetstar is copping an absolute hammering now. We've probably got a $59 sale from Avalon over to Adelaide Airport. And yeah, just looking for things to do. The City of Churches, it's rad. Yeah. Before you headed to Radelaide, look, not only just before, but you actually got up, you had some good adventures whilst you're in Radelaide on the running front. But let's have a chat about your running week, mate.
Yeah, let's do
94Ks,
it.
that's solid. Like, some would look at that and go, wow, you're back. Post-marathon, those blues are away, you're fit, gel's coming up, firing on all cylinders. But what's happening? How's the body feeling? A few adventures this
Yeah.
week. Where do you want to start?
It's actually really funny because after I came on the last time, which was probably 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, everyone out there, that you stuck with me again so soon. But I remember coming off the show and thinking, whoa, I'm being really freaking lazy right now. And I feel like you guys, this wasn't your intention at all, but I felt like I got a bit of a boot up the backside after 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, maybe it's time to start doing some running again. So yeah, it was a bit of a step up last week. I really felt a bit of a Zaka Crusoe pressure.
Well, looks like whatever's happened, it's worked because it's been a big week, and it sounds like you've embraced cross country season. XCR is literally 10 days away, and there was a little bit of chatter between me and you leading up to Adelaide that you're on the Get Fit Quick campaign. There was a couple of ideas thrown around, which we can't even use the word allegedly because that would be slanderous and possibly get us sued. But we did have some ideas on how we could get fit quick, but you've embraced the more traditional methods to get fit for cross country with a bit of obstacle course racing, I see.
Yes, I did. So I did a session with Kate Smythe, and we were like, okay, let's go to Horseshoe Bend Road, which is near, just sort of on the outskirts of Torquay, because we saw that the road was closed again. So when it's closed, it's perfect because it's like a long stretch. It's like a combination of gravel and bitumen, and it's really good for just doing a session like a long out and back, especially if you have long reps. So we were like, okay, we'll go there. Anyway, do the warm up, that's all good, and then get onto the road for the actual session. And then like, I don't know. So I had a 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes, all with 2 minute jog between. And I reckon it was like 4 minutes or 6 minutes into the 10 minute rep, we just got to this like big fence and had to like sneak around it. And because you're in the middle of the rep, you're like trying to do things quickly. And I just like smacked my knee. So I got a massive bruise. And then we kept running. I was like, oh, my knee, oh, my knee. And then we kept running. And then there was this other huge fence with a truck next to it, and there's a guy in the truck, and I was like, oh, bloody hell, we're going to get told off here. And so Kate jumped over the fence with her, and her dog went through sort of this fence, and they're running like along this lawn that's to the left of the road. And then I decide my best bet is to like go directly under the fence next to the truck. So I'm literally like army crawling. My chest is like on the grass to get under this fence. And I kind of did it like ninja-like, and the guy didn't say anything. So we got through all of those obstacles. Then on the way back, he kind of told me off, and I had to say, look, I'm really sorry. And he's like, don't come back tomorrow because we're digging holes. I'm like, I promise we won't be back tomorrow. It's an easy day. So that was funny. And then there were another two guys at the other fence too. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to go through it again. But I just like waved at them and smiled, and they just waved back. And it was anyway, not the best session. I like blew up massively as well. So it was one of those ones where you've got a tailwind without knowing you've got a tailwind. And so I went out a bit too hard. So I was like around 3:44, 3:45 for the 10 minutes and the 8 minute reps. And that I reckon I should have been around 3:50 probably, or a little bit slower than that. And then 6 minutes, which was when I'd turned around, I ran 4:12. would you like a prize to guess where I blew up?
So no, I put that down to perhaps you might have got stuck under the fence or something, and you just dropped 20 seconds.
Actually, like the reps where I was going through obstacles were actually my best ones. So I don't know, maybe I've got a future as a Spartan or something.
So was it running a bit of fear in those 10 and 8 minutes? Like, oh, surely I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm going to get yelled at. These people are going to just try and run me over.
There might have been a bit of that. And then kind of recovered for 4 minute, but still slower. And the 2 minute when it's all pretty much over. But yeah, not my best work, but it was definitely an adventure.
Then this is where I'd look at like someone like Kate, you know, very smart, like former Commonwealth Games athlete, Kate Smythe, like very, a smart, mature, responsible adult. And here she is leading you astray. Because let's be honest, you wouldn't have done that by yourself.
I don't know. I think I'd get into worse trouble by myself. But we were in it together. Afterwards, we kind of laughed, and she was like, "Maybe that wasn't the best loop."
So, like, loop planning non-existent on this one. It was just kind of, "Oh, she'll be right," or just went a bit pear-shaped.
Yeah, it just went pear-shaped. So, anyway, that's all right. You live and learn.
Well, you do live and learn. But I do have some concerns, because the next day you went adventuring with Joey out on your easy run, and it seems like you got a bit of a taste for trespassing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've like, you know, once you give it a go, it's hard to go back. Yeah, went out with the dog, and I think this was me trying to just, you know, enjoy my running last week. And so I was like, really keen to make some new loops. And anyway, it went a little bit off piste. So I did this massive loop with the dog. We were like on dirt, on gravel. Then we kind of followed this paddock, and then suddenly we were like bush bashing. This is like in Torquay, but I had no idea where I was. I'd like never been in this area before. And so we're like jumping over sticks, and there's like kind of that sort of wire fencing everywhere. And I'm like, where are we? And then I was trying to find a road, and then found a driveway, ran up that. And then there was a big sign, which we were like passing this sign, so coming out of the property, that said, "Private property, stay out." But luckily we didn't run into anyone, so we didn't get in trouble. But yeah, it was a bit of fun.
Do you often find yourself running through people's front and backyards?
Not that often. It has happened
No.
before, though, and it probably won't be the last time it happens either.
I think it's good to explore new loops and find new possibilities, but yeah, obviously it can backfire from time to time. And I guess being down that way, a beach can turn into someone's house pretty quick, I'm assuming.
Yeah, can do. And some of these properties are so big, and they've got like lots of land. So I guess you don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Most of these stories I've gone under or over a fence at some point. So maybe I should know that it's probably not the ideal situation, but anyway.
In fairness, it is inconsiderate of them to put a fence across a trail where people do frequent to run. So look, maybe there's a way to negotiate maybe a gap in the fence, or maybe a bit of a boundary readjustment to their property.
Sure.
I can't see it being an issue.
Bring some wire cutters next time.
Look, gel, phone, wallet, wire cutters. Like,
yeah.
It's just probably a staple. Never, always go prepared, mate. Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, love it.
You just never know.
You never know.
But you survived that one. There was no trouble that day. Thinking then, so you did you fly out to Adelaide, as we now will always refer to
of course.
Adelaide, but did you fly out Thursday, or was it a Friday morning flight?
So it was meant to be Thursday, and then I was at the airport and Jetstar cancelled my flight. So
shout out to Jetstar.
Shout out. They've been mentioned a couple of times on this show. Actually, in all fairness, they did put everyone up who lived more than 50 k's away in a hotel, so I did manage to get on a flight early the following morning, so it wasn't too bad. I had like a glass of wine with some randoms at the airport hotel because we spent our $30 Jetstar voucher on wine. So yeah, that was fun. But it meant that my plan was to kind of do my session in the morning, and then so it ended up being kind of mid-morning, but didn't have to get to the athletics till the afternoon, so it still kind of worked out.
That's all. No, if you're rating Jetstar out of 10 at the moment, is there like a number that comes to mind?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I want to give them a low rating, but I'll probably fly with them again.
Yeah. You're
Because
like,
it's like every time I swear I won't, and then they're just so much cheaper that I get sucked into the trap. So anyway, have you had any
Oh,
flight mishaps?
yeah, not real bad ones. Probably the worst. Like, I haven't had a, actually, I lie. I've had one Jetstar flight cancelled, but meant that I got to fly home with Qantas instead. So that worked out well.
Nice.
That was good. That was an upgrade, but probably the worst one, we were flying out to Gold Coast and we just sat on the tarmac for 3 hours.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. So, yeah, like I actually would have preferred to be back in the lounge, to be honest. But
Yeah.
yeah, I think, believe something may have gone wrong from the underneath part of the plane and they weren't super satisfied with us flying in that condition.
Damn.
So, yeah, so I guess they had our best interests at heart, but it was a 3 hour delay that I really would have liked back, particularly when Nora said, as we were leaving, actually like taxiing out of Tullamarine, could have been there by now. And
Yeah.
by there, as in at our accommodation. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it's kind of captured the mood really well. But yeah, they're like a solid 5 out of 10, or just like a bad ex-partner. You'll say that you'll never go back to, but you're like, look, just don't do it again. All right. But they always do.
They
They
do.
always do.
Yep. They do.
But do you want to have a chat? Like, do you want to talk about your actual session you did on the Friday? Because it was a ripper. You nailed this one.
It was actually all right. So this was meant to be in my long run, but I knew that I was gonna do like a group long run on Sunday, so I ended up separating it out and doing it as a session instead. Which worked quite well, and I kind of want to do that again this week, just so I can like run with my friends on Sunday. But yeah, I did 20 minutes warm up. 30 minutes at half marathon pace. So I averaged 3:54 for that effort and then had a 5 minute jog recovery and then 6 by 45 seconds. So like almost an extended stride sort of thing. That was meant to be a 5K effort, but I had a really, really big tailwind. And so I managed to run pretty quick on those. I was like, oh, this is fun. Felt like I was
Nah,
flying.
like
Yeah, and I
didn't
had a 75 second recovery between and then a 15 minute cool down. So, yeah.
nice. I think like those 6 by 45, did that actually feel like 5K effort, or you just went, oh, it just feels great. I'm just gonna pin the ears back a little bit and just send it, just for a little bit. What's the worst that can happen?
I think I pinned the ears back a little bit. Honestly, my 5K pace is like marathon pace. I just have no gears whatsoever. It's all one. I'm like a, I don't know, a fixie bike. I only got one gear. So yeah, this felt good. I was like, ooh, feel like I've got a little rocket pack on.
Let up on the toes, just
Yep.
absolutely flying, like around the sort of look, bit under 320 pace, I think, for those 45 second efforts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Definitely wind assisted, but you know, we'll take that.
confidence boosting this run.
I think so. I still don't feel very fit at all. I'm just kind of like, you know, when you're waiting for fitness to click, I just keep waiting and waiting. And sitting by the phone, waiting.
Why won't you return my call, fitness?
Please return my call. I don't, I feel desperate double messaging you, but I can't stop.
Maybe it didn't see your first message. You know, sometimes you
Maybe
get
they lost
distracted.
their phone.
True.
Maybe they're like, they switched providers and changed numbers, and you know, the missed call disappeared.
Out of credit, might not be able to reply.
They've moved to Mexico.
Look, it's possible.
Yeah.
Drop the phone in the bath. That's another one. No, what is it though? Like with your fitness, because I guess I always break fitness up, like when you're coming back from something. Because really, the fitness hasn't gone anywhere. It's just the body's still a bit rusty. It's still carrying a little bit of marathon. But where's it carrying it? Is it in the legs? Is it in the lungs? Or is it the energy levels that are a bit flat? Or is it just a combination of all three?
It's actually hard to, yeah.
Because the pace is there, because you're hitting those 45 seconds at 3:18s at the end of a session. Yeah, tailwind. Yeah, but you still got to put the work in. Like you've got that capacity and that power to still crank that gear as one paced as you think you are. You've still got to be able to turn the wheels to be able to do that. So, even you hit some good paces in your obstacle course on a Wednesday. So like it's there. I just wonder, like, is it just like the energy levels, those internal organs are still just coming up to 100% still?
It could be that I feel like my legs feel okay. I still have like a couple of little niggles, but they're nothing, they're not getting worse and they're not really getting better. But I don't feel like they're anything to worry about. So my body feels okay. I think it's more, as you said, that internal thing. And energy levels as well. Like it feels I also should get a blood test because I was meant to get one after the marathon and I've kind of forgotten. But it's kind of good to check iron levels after you've recovered from the marathon too, because then your body starts naturally like stocking up a little bit more and being able to absorb the iron, I think, post like a massive training block. So I should check that out because I do have a little bit of that feeling that I get when I'm a bit low on iron. And it was like dropping like a lead balloon just before the marathon. So I don't know if it's recovered or where it's at or if it's gone down more. But yeah, that's the only thing I can kind of think of because I feel like and you should never play the comparison game, but when I look at other people who ran Osaka, like some of them are absolutely flying now. And I'm like, why am I not flying? Or only when I fly, it's with the tailwind.
Well, obviously fitness has been returning some calls
Yeah.
in the community. So
Yeah,
look,
they are.
I
Just playing
perhaps
hard to get.
yeah, look, I think getting that iron test is a really good idea, but so long as that's good or in an acceptable range, I would think that your call's probably going to come in just before gels.
Ooh, good timing, eh?
One would hope so.
I reckon you might get a call too. You've been on the phone for a while now.
I've been leaving messages, sending emails, texts, putting orders in
BlackBerry.
online. I'm sending really nice complimentary messages saying about like all the remember when or
Oh, nice.
remember the good times that we used to have. And yeah, so just been getting some flickers of interest, but still waiting, just waiting for that lovely here you go. You've been working so hard. We appreciate you. Have a basket of fitness. We're still working towards that. But yeah, I think there's a lot more messages being exchanged than what potentially there was about 6 to 8 weeks ago, which is good. So there's signs of positivity.
Promising. That sounds
Yeah.
promising. Yeah. And then last run of the week, really of note, was had a long run on Sunday, which was like a big collab run. So it was Runners One, FTK, and Nike put on this long run on the Sunday.
Just the
which was
big heavy hitters of
big
Rad
heavy
Light.
Hitters. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was so it was actually such a cool event. Everyone met at the cafe at 7:30 in the morning, and then we did a group long run. I did 18K at 5:20s, so pretty cruisy, and ran with Jace, who listens to the show. He's one of the brains behind Oat Running, the socks.
Shout out
so,
to Jace, big fan of Jace.
Shout out,
it,
big fan of Jace.
Absolute legend. Jace has helped me out with some socks from Oat on several occasions, but I'm a big fan, and we love the work that Oat do for the running community as well. Probably one of my favorite things they do, like they make great kit. The socks are fantastic, but they'll always slip in a personalized message pretty much to every order. I know podcasts aren't the greatest visual medium, but I've got a couple here, which with my... Just from, hey, Chris-O, we hope you enjoy the socks and I help you send it. Thanks for the support, J&J.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah.
Yes, Jason, Jess.
Yeah, it's the little things. And that's what we love about companies like Oat.
Yeah, they hooked me up with some socks too, and I've really enjoyed them. They've been great. But it was really good to put a face to the name as well, because you kind of... You message these people, or you might have an interaction online, and then meeting someone and having a trot together. It's really lovely.
Yeah. Nah, that's awesome.
So that was cool. And
The
then
good group, good size group by the looks.
Big group. I honestly think there were like 200 people. And you sort of just take over the streets of Adelaide. And then we get onto this bike path which follows the Torrens River, which is really nice, and do a bit of an out and back. And everyone went different distances depending on when they needed to turn around, and then we all headed back to the Runhouse Cafe. And so Izzy Bat Doyle and Riley Cox own the cafe as well, so everyone came back there for coffees. And then we had a very big dog there, Cam Myers, who we did a Q&A with. So
but when you say we, but you really mean you, don't you?
Yes, but well, so Riley Wolf and I kind of Riley introduced us, and then I sat with Cam and we did a 20-minute interview, and then we opened it up so people could ask questions of him as well, which was really cool. And it's amazing. Like, people kind of forget he's 17. He was on school holidays, like, and he's this global phenomenon of a runner, like, compared to Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Like, this guy is going to do massive things. And he came fifth at the national champs in the 1500, which he was disappointed in, but it was the most stacked field in the men's 1500 nationals final that we've ever seen.
Awesome.
And this kid, like, has his whole career ahead of him, so it's super exciting to see. And yeah, such a good opportunity to chat with him.
What was, I guess, when you're talking to a 17-year-old kid, is it hard where you get a bit nervous? You're like, this young man is one of the most talented athletes on the planet, and that's irrespective of his age. But do you get nervous because you're talking to someone with immense talent, or do you look at it and think, this guy's just a child still? He's not old enough to drink. You know, he's playing Fortnite.
I know, he loves Fortnite. I always get a bit nervous before these things anyway. It doesn't really matter if I'm interviewing a pineapple. although that would be quite hard work for me. We got to like have a little chat beforehand, and I reckon the key is just to make people feel comfortable as early on as possible, because it can be a nerve-wracking experience sitting there. There's, 80 people in the garden, like, watching you. But no, he was really good. And once he got talking, he, gave detailed answers and was quite open. He, open about being a bit disappointed. I asked him if there were any scalps he particularly wanted to take, and he was just like, I just want to beat everyone. Which is a great, champion's mentality, I thought. Asked him about some of his some of the athletes he admires, or someone in the crowd asked that question, I think, and he said, Ryan Gregson back in his heyday, and I think globally Jakob Ingebrigtsen was his kind of he's the man sort of answer to that question. So it's interesting because everyone wants to see that head-to-head go down, and I dare say one day he'll be beating Jakob too.
It's we're in a blessed time in Australian athletics, and probably maybe not since Cathy Freeman have we had someone at such a young age who had the potential to be dominant on the world circuit. And we've almost feels like we've got two of them in Cam Myers and Claudia Hollingsworth, which we'll go into a bit more detail later, but it's just to have that depth. Now, where you've got, people in 800, the 1500, and 5K all running in diamond leagues, male and female, throwing their names out there and actually start. Some, I guess, some are more well known than others, and that's always going to be the case. But athletics is starting to creep into the mainstream.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's so exciting. And I think I've had the biggest pep in my step all week. I mean, I've been absolutely rinsed. I was so exhausted after the weekend. Like, I feel like I ran a marathon on the weekend just because doing so much, like interviewing and thinking on your feet, and we'll talk about it later, but just and public speaking in general as well. It can be quite exhausting, but seeing all these people firsthand and being able to, share their excitement or hear more about their story, it's just so inspiring. I think distance running in Australia, and we especially like the 800 and the 15, just so exciting at the moment.
There's some battles that I want to ask you about, and something that I'm interested in your like sometimes we'll throw topics at each other, go away and think about it and come back. I'm going to ask you something later, a bit of a battle that I think's brewing on the horizon over the next couple of years. A bit of a rivalry, a budding rivalry, which I think is only going to be good for the sport in our country, but we'll talk about that more. It's a bit of a cliffhanger to end that one on, but yes, we've got more to unpack on nationals.
Yeah, we should hear about your training though, I
Oh
reckon.
gosh, there's not too much to go over. Not look, certainly not as many adventures as you've had, friend. But 81 Ks for the week for myself. I'm doing my sessions on a Monday at the moment, and I said to Zach last week, Monday is probably the least desirable day to do a session on, but just the start of the work week, you're coming off the excitement of the weekend and just heading out just a little bit flat, but also probably carrying the fatigue from the long run in the body at the moment. But it's the way it's kind of working. Well, here's the theory behind it. I'm just trying to get a little bit fitter ahead of cross country, and I guess with an A race in May that I want to have a crack at for 10K. So going to almost, I've been doing one session a week with Andy for ages, and almost looking at it as one and three quarter sessions now, where I guess the tried and true method was Tuesday session, Friday session, and Sunday long run. We've just shuffled that forward today. So Monday session that I'll do that Andy sets me, and then on a Thursday I'll jump in and do Anna's session with her. So it's not quite at the same intensity that I'd be doing mine, but it's still a bit of quality. in there. So we're doing a warm up, we're doing strides, and we'll do something that goes for 20 to 30 minutes and we'll average in the low fours, which is still pretty solid. So certainly nothing to be sneezed at. But look, long run just gone over the weekend. We did 22 Ks. The long runs that I'm doing, it'll generally be whatever I give Anna for her to do. So she's working towards the 14 kilometer run at Great Ocean Road on the Saturday. I think it's called the Paradise Run. So yeah, that's about a month away, that one. So weekend just gone, 22 Ks. This is a Maddie Davey favorite. Borrowed this one from Maddie with his permission. So 12 K easy. And then 8K is at marathon effort, but then every 2K of that marathon block, you throw a 1 minute surge in, and that minute is similar to your 45 second efforts that you were doing. Mm-hmm. So we say 5K effort, but it's a bit harder than 5K effort, isn't it? Like we're condescending it. So yeah, it's good fun. Anna's got a great change of pace. And I mean, 2-3 steps, her acceleration is incredible just through her Pilates and her strength background. She's been doing Pilates for a good 15, 20 years. So her gear changes are incredible to the point where over 10, 15 steps, she drops me. And it takes me nearly the whole rep to catch back up.
Wow. She's like a Tesla or something.
Well, she better than a Tesla. We probably don't speak too fondly of Teslas.
Sorry.
But no, like her
Ferrari.
Just a sports car or a motorbike. Yeah, motorbikes just get off the line real quick when you're at the traffic lights. They come up the middle in between all the cars and then bang, they're off. They hit whatever the speed limit happens to be in about 0.5 of a second. But yeah, she quick off the mark. So that certainly kept me honest. And yeah, that was good fun. I think for the session, for the long run, we averaged in the 440s for that one. So pretty solid for us. Then took that fatigue. Nice. Yeah, like it was good fun. And I love doing sessions like that. Like I suppose we love having a giggle at our own silliness. So when you throw in a bit of the hype of a long run session like that too, it just adds to it and makes for a very fun morning. So yeah, it's and I think you've got to have a bit of humor. I've been fortunate enough to run with Anna for the last 3 and a bit years, and yeah, like it's the laughter, it's the fun, it's the stupidity that we carry on with that make it great. Because you could run with anyone, but if the chat and the banter and the friendship's no good, it just, yeah, it sucks. So no, very grateful for her company. She's a legend.
No, oh, I love that. How did the legs feel after those little surges? Did it feel a little bit, you know, did they feel a bit sluggish going back into marathon pace after that, or whatever pace you were trying to hit?
Yeah, so the marathon, I guess marathon pace was sort of in that 4:25 to 4:35 window, knowing that those, like every second kilometer when you put that 1 minute surge in, you're going to end up with a K that looks pretty flash on paper. You've just done a minute work, and I guess just tried to slow down enough that it's back to what feels like marathon effort. So probably in that 20 or 30 seconds after the minute rep, you need to be pretty disciplined, I've found, to go back to marathon effort, because that actually starts to feel a
very
bit like,
slow, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's very much like how that first 12K felt in terms of effort. So we've done this session probably, this would be the fourth time that we've done it over the last sort of 4 or 5 months. And that's been the thing we've noticed, that it's very easy to get sucked into only dropping back to a threshold or a half marathon effort that, yeah, you do need to pay a little bit of attention to the watch. And if you're carrying on as much silliness as we do sometimes, that can be a bit difficult. So yeah, it's a good fun. It's one of my favorite long runs that we do, that we put in the block. So it's good fun.
Nice.
And then took some of that leg fatigue, which definitely was around into Monday's session. So one of Andy's favorite sessions is to combine hills and thresholds. So popped out to the Botanical Gardens. It's literally the only hill that we have out this way. it's man-made. It used to be the tip. So they've turned it into botanical gardens, and they've done a pretty fair job. But nah, 6 by 300 meter hills at 10K effort, and then just a gentle jog back recovery into about 5Ks at threshold. So yeah, I would have liked to have worked the hills a little bit harder. I think the fatigue that I had in the legs from Saturday had a little bit of an impact. It certainly didn't make me try any less, but yeah, there just wasn't that, sometimes you've just got that extra little bit of push in the legs, and yeah, it just felt there just wasn't that extra bit of spark that I would have liked, or that bit of power that I would have liked to be a bit more consistent in the hill reps. But the threshy, that was really nice. I'd say maybe the first 1500 of that, it felt a little bit of a forced effort because you'd kind of, I don't know whether you're just carrying a bit of lactic or a bit of fatigue from the hills. So just to get going again, for anything longer than a minute was a bit of work. But once I settled, the body felt really good and was just, as it turned out, just running the same pace pretty much the whole way. The heart rate didn't change. I've got the, I'm wearing my chest strap heart rate monitor, my Garmin one. More just to look at the feedback afterwards, but it is useful during the threshold, I guess, to measure the effort, and that sort of sat around sort of 167, 168 for the duration of the threshold. So yeah, which is nice validation that you're not like you don't sort of see a number and then you're really straining and watching that heart rate sail through the mid 170s and close to 180, just for the sake of making it look pretty, to get a few extra kudos on Strava. So yeah, it was nice to maintain that control, and yeah, like hopefully the body will absorb that, and it's probably not going to be for another 3 or 4 weeks if we'll get, I guess, the validation that I'm seeking that this little tweak that we've made over the last month is working. Because yeah, I'd say that the fatigue in the legs hasn't really gone away. It just gets less towards the end of the week, and then Saturday rolls around, and then bam, it's back. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, you absolutely like locked into that pace for that threshold. Literally like metronomic sort of effort there. 347, 347, 347. Pretty great. And also, and after the heels too, like that's a really good session.
Yeah, no, I was wrapped with it in terms of I felt like this end up being an 18K morning before work, which apologies to my work colleagues, I probably wasn't the sharpest person on the out on the floor for work during the day. But yeah, in terms of it, I guess workload that we got before going to work, yeah, absolutely thrilled with it. So yeah, it's I end up running 10K in about 41 minutes for the whole session. So
Yeah,
yeah,
great.
it's probably, it doesn't look flash on paper, but I know once the body absorbs things like that, that we're going to be in a better spot. So I just have to be patient.
You mentioned that there's only one hill where you live and you found it for this session.
Yeah.
But is that a bit of a focus at the moment? Like a bit of a strength block in preparation for XCR, or what's the kind of thinking there?
Yeah, we probably would normally do a few more hills in the lead up to XCR kicking off, but I guess because of the, I guess the chest issues that I had coming off that track race in Bendigo, we really have erred on the side of caution and just taken a very slowly approach, knowing that I do have a bit of a propensity to go and try and run pretty hard up the hill that we have. So yeah, so I said to Andy, look, I'm feeling really good in my body. I'd like to give these things a go. And then sure enough, there it was, bang, next week in the program. So we're back. It's good. But yeah, probably taking a bit more of a conservative approach to XCR. I think the last 2 years I've been a bit guilty of over racing in terms of, yeah, absolutely getting along to everything, but really trying to run everything hard, and that's not very sustainable throughout the season. So at this stage, we've picked 3 rounds to really have a good proper go at, and we'll taper into those. This is not one of them coming up at Gels, so that's okay. I'm fine with that. But at this stage, gonna try and target the 10K at Albert Park. Still want to have a go at something. Like, I'm gonna have a go at Bundoora and treat that as an A
Love
race.
that.
So,
Yes.
Bundoora, I still think Bendigo is the hardest course on the circuit, but I just like Bundoora. It's got long, sort of grinding hills, but the 10K distance as well. So, and it's normally state championships weekend, and it's a pretty good field. So, yeah, I like that one. And it's usually a good 3 or 4 weeks after Gold Coast, too. So it gives the body a bit of time to recover. And you, yeah, I just like it. It's, yeah, I don't want it to be just all road racing. So we're going to throw that one in. And then the half marathon at Burnley will probably be the other A race. So look, the body's still going to get through, but I'll be at all the individual rounds. That's the intention. And gels will probably be the only relay, only because I don't think my services are going to be required by the Bats post gels. It's really just because Ballarat's on that weekend, and there's a few people doing marathons. Andy's going to be overseas. That
Yeah, in Hamburg.
yeah. So, and look, Bendigo won't be on there lonesome. I think most clubs will be pretty thin on the ground that weekend. And literally, if you own a pair of running shoes, you are
You're in.
absolutely meeting all the criteria to run at
Yeah,
Gels for any AV club that weekend. So, yeah.
it's an interesting one because usually you kind of see at Gels, it's like the big shebang, the XCR season opener. You see like the likes of Morgan Mitchell there, or like
Stuart
Lyndon
McSwain.
Hall. Yeah, Stewie. Like you see all the big dogs there. But you know, they've just run nationals this week, and people are heading overseas to run races and Ballarat weekend. Obviously, there's a lot going on, so it's going to look a bit different this year, I think.
Round one will, but mate, round two at Hanging Rock, brace yourself. This could be like, remember round zero for the AFL? Gels could be round zero this
Oh,
year for AB.
yeah. That's true.
Anyway,
That round zero thing was so weird. But anyway,
that's a
we
nice
move
way of
on.
saying it. We do. We will move on.
Yeah.
We're going to move on, but we're going to move back too. I want to talk a bit more about Radelaide and the weekend that's been. Before we kick into some of the results, question without notice. Mate, I genuinely believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I would love to hear your thoughts. There's a budding rivalry, I believe, in Australian athletics at the moment. And it's not necessarily between two people, although you could absolutely mount a case for several exciting rivalries in athletics at the moment. And we're all just too damn nice to one another. But I reckon, bear with me on this, that over the next 2 years, that Nike may not be the most popular brand in Australia for running, that I think On is going to take over that space and throw down to the point where they will be the first brand that comes to mind when you think about athletics in this country. And I'm not just saying that because, like, oh, that's a hot take. And I know that you're a fan of hot takes.
Love a hot take.
I love a hot take. But the reason being, so it's not just an unthought out thing, like, oh, here's me being saying something stupid with no thought. Reason being, I think On have already invested a lot of money into athletics in Victoria. So you see they look after the AV series, very prominent at Zatopek. I mean, Peking Duck playing at the end of Zatopek, that'll be remembered for a long time. People bought tickets to Zatopek because it was a cheap way to get into the concert. But like they're doing cool stuff like that. That it's getting the public's attention. They're sponsoring this. Well, Craig Mottram's got a cracker of a group there down in Victoria. And you have a look at some of the athletes that they're targeting that are in that group. They're the young, up and coming. They're names that are about to just become household names, potentially as early as this year at Paris. But you've got Claudia Hollingsworth, Oliver Hoare, Kai Robinson, those sort of people.
Yeah,
Morty
Peyton
Skyring,
Craig.
Peyton Craig, that I think they're about to take off in a big way. And even the shoes that are like the, you talk to people, what's your favorite easy day shoe at the moment? Cloud Monster, Hyper Boom, like starting, things are starting to move in the same sentences, in the same breaths as Alphafly, Vaporfly, Stuart McSwain. Like, if they're not, I don't think Nike are unchallenged now. I think they're still number one. Don't get me wrong, they're still number one. Your Jess Holes, your Stuart McSwain, everyone wants the Alphafly to go and run a marathon, and with good reason. The Alphafly 3, I still think, is the best shoe on the market for fast running. But On's coming, and they're a lot closer than people think. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. Look, I have just been kind of growing in admiration for what that brand is doing. Like all the things you mentioned there, supporting grassroots running in Australia. Like they supported the XCR, On supported the XCR season last year. They're doing it again this year. Just seeing that hype around the team that they've built in on Oceania under Craig Mottram, and that combination of, an athlete like, say, Ben Buckingham, who has lots of experience, and then the younger generation too, with the Bandyria Boyers and the Claudia Hollingsworths, and, that mentorship that can happen within a group. Their kit just looks awesome.
It
Their
is
product looks
fire
super
flames.
cool. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of R&D goes into what they do, and what I've really loved observing over time has been the amount of athlete feedback that they seem to use in their product development. So I remember when like Ollie and Morgan McDonald and the guys in the US were sort of first getting going, and Alicia Monson and all these amazing runners, until the shoe was at a level where they were like, okay, this shoe is like the real deal now, and we're wearing it. I think they were quite involved in the development process, getting feedback from the athletes, making sure they were absolutely bang on. And I think what results from that, when you really talk to the user about how the shoe feels, how it performs, what you like, what you don't like, what could be improved, is that you get a product that's really cool and really works. And I feel like they've taken the time and put the money in to do that, and it's sort of paying off now.
Yeah, it really is. I think their product is just flying off the shelves at the moment. But it was really interesting just how prominent the brand was over the weekend, and it was really cool to see. I think, you would normally see these sorts of events just dominated with the elite, the pro Nike Elite kit, just race after race after race, or all at the front, which, hey, absolutely, as it generally is and should be, and that's fine. But yeah, like that, there's variety now, there's choice, there's other brands and obviously athletes to get excited about. So it's great seeing that. I don't know, I think it's really fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, this is kind of a natural inclination of humans, right? Like when there's a new shiny thing, we're like, oh, the new shiny thing.
Yeah, I keep buying
Yes, you
it.
do. Need to cut up your credit cards, Chris. But yeah, Nike's obviously been doing that really well for a very long time, and sort of was at the forefront of the super shoes and all of that. But now we're seeing some other brands kind of catching up, and that's exciting. And I think it's good for all of us as runners too.
Absolutely no doubt about that. Now, your weekend, I mean, look, as much as mum and dad would probably love to believe that you went over there wholly and solely to visit them, you did go over for nationals, but you had some media credentials. How did this all come about?
Yeah, it was kind of a, so Riley Wolf and I, who do hot takes for FTK, we were just kind of chatting, and he was like, oh, are you heading over to Nationals by chance? And I had been thinking about it because it was in Adelaide, and just as a massive fangirl, wanted to go over. And so I kind of said, yeah, actually, I'm going to book flights today. So I booked flights, and he was like, well, let's get you and Fraser Darcy, who writes The Blue Line, interviewing some athletes in the mixed zone. So we applied for accreditation, and then we were kind of just there at the finish line doing like little vox pop interviews with athletes as they finish their races. So it was like so much fun. I absolutely loved it. I'd never done anything quite like that before. Obviously, I've done a lot of like longer form interviews and print interviews, but this whole audio visual thing was a bit new for me. But was like, yes, I will take up the challenge, just because it's such good exposure for the athletes. Like, and they don't often get a chance to show their personality as well in the kind of more official interviews that they do. So this was a nice way to give them a bit more exposure too.
I think what a tremendous opportunity for yourself too.
Oh, it was such a good opportunity. And this is the thing, like when these opportunities come up, I usually feel like slightly sick in the stomach. That's my first reaction. And then I'm like, I always say yes before I can think of a reason to not do it. And then just it ends up being like such a great experience. And it was really fun doing it with Fraser and Riley as well. We're a little dream team over there.
Mate, obviously, look, a weekend full of highlights and hard to pick some. So certainly not going to ask you to rank them. But
yeah,
what are some of the top things? What are some of the best memories that you've got of the weekend just gone?
I absolutely loved interviewing Claudia Hollingsworth. She was just such a joy to chat with. It was her birthday the first time we spoke to each other. She'd turned 19. And she has a twin sister, which I didn't
know.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, she doesn't run. But that was lovely. Like, she was really generous. And then kind of what happened was when the athletes had spoken to us once over the weekend, they kind of did their race, another race, and then they sort of came over and they're like, oh, yeah, we do the FTK thing now. So that was really nice. We started to build a bit of a relationship with the athletes. So I loved interviewing Claudia, and just seeing her race was unreal. Also Jess Hull, like she's this absolute superstar, incredibly professional. And yeah, she spent such a long time in the US and she's here in Australia now, but you know, she's a real medal chance at the Olympics. And it was, yeah, really cool to interview her. And I was shocked that she listens to the podcast as well, which was great. And yeah, and she, I think one of the highlights was basically how the athletes were receiving like what we were doing too. And a few of them gave some feedback that it was like, this is good for the sport, you know, they kind of it's good for them to have that visibility out there in the public. So it was just cool to be able to have a front row seat for them like finishing a race. And we often spoke to the winners, so you're getting those real raw reactions and emotions like right after they've won a hard race.
I think it's incredible. Like, for you, was it all a bit surreal? Like, you don't actually realize that, I mean, look, you're there to help create content and share the emotions that the athletes are feeling, to give, I guess, the viewer a better understanding of how they're feeling and what it's like and all that sort of thing. But did that all just get lost in the shuffle and you just had to pinch yourself and think, hang on, I'm doing a job? Or was it just like you being the athlete and obviously media trained to the point like you're just there chatting to, you know, I guess making friends and like,
yeah.
You know, like and everything, like, oh yeah, that's right, I actually did, like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah, definitely. It didn't, that's the thing though, I think when you do something you love, and I absolutely loved this, it just doesn't feel like work. It just feels like having chats with people. And that was so great. Like, I definitely had those moments where I was like, wow, this is a bit nuts. And it was really hard at times because a race would go off and you'd be trying to concentrate on the race. And then that one finishes and you're like trying to make sure that you get hold of the athlete to interview, and they're going to do their official media stuff and then like the broad TV broadcast or whatever. And then meanwhile, like you're trying to get them and another race is going off and you're trying to watch that race for like the next person after that. So it's quite a bit of a juggling act too, just to make sure that you've actually seen what's happened. And also doing research beforehand, you've kind of got like a few names where you've got a few facts like good to go about them, or you remember what they've done in the season. And then this happened occasionally where it was like, oh, we didn't expect that person to win. And then you're kind of scrambling to think like, okay, what are we going to talk to them about? That sort of thing. And you've got literally a minute to do that. So yeah, it was very much like think on your feet. But yeah, I loved it. I felt like totally inspired and totally like energized by the whole thing.
I suppose part of that, I guess, you're that energized by it, you don't realize the fatigue setting in. So the bus trip back to Geelong, I'm thinking when you landed and the body had a chance just to unwind, you must, that's when the fatigue's really hit, hasn't it?
Oh, big time. Yeah. I felt so cooked all week. Like so tired. But it's all good. I feel like my cup is very full, so it's okay. And I know I'll get through this week and it'll be fine. It was worth every bit of the marathon feels that I have right now.
Look, it's a small sacrifice, and that's possibly why fitness hasn't been able to return your call. You just haven't been awake to be able to catch it.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
What about some of the biggest surprises? Like, then look, there was a weekend filled with them. I think anyone that can honestly say and sat there that they tipped the winners of the 800s and the 1500s is a liar.
Yeah.
Look, you may have jagged a couple, but you didn't get all four. But for yourself, biggest
Yeah.
surprise that you had. I mean, obviously Adelaide was rad. We know that.
Yeah.
But on the racing front, what was the biggest shock, like where the jaw just dropped that left you scrambling?
Yeah, a couple of big surprises. I mean, you sort of thought they'd be in the mix, but I think like Adam Spencer winning the men's 1500 final, it was really hard to know who was going to win that race. And as I said earlier, like it was such a stacked field, that it was so hard to pick. Even like right to the end, I think around the sort of around the bend, the 200 bend coming into the finish, Adam made a move, but he wasn't even in second or anything. I reckon he was coming back front, coming from around fifth place at that stage, and you just had no idea where that was going to end. And it was really cool to see him win that. And it's one of those things where the athletes who live and train in the US, you never really know what they're going to do on the day because you just don't see them racing as much. But it would have been really cool to see him like named in the team straight after the meet because he'd run the Olympic qualifier and he won the race as well. But there's just so much depth in the 1500 that I understand the reasoning for that. So that was a bit of a surprise. And the 800, so Luke Boys, he ran such a good race. Like the men's 800 was probably one of the races of the meet. He basically was leading like from the get-go, and I think he was thinking, oh no, you know, have I gone out too hard here? And he when we spoke to him after, he said he could see this shadow behind him, like catching him. And he said the shadow was moving really smoothly, so he knew it was Pete Bowl. So anyway, Pete Bowl like catches him on the final straight, and then Luke just finds this other gear and manages to get past him, which is just so cool. And he's coached by Ben St. Lawrence. He's like an unsponsored athlete. He was like wearing all the different kinds of brands, to, I guess, show that he was unsponsored. He's like just seemed like a really nice guy studying law. Like, yeah, I thought that was really cool to see him take the win too. So that was a bit of a surprise. He ran a PB as well in the race, which is awesome, and like just missed the Olympic qualifier, but hopefully he can get that.
Oh, look. I think sometimes you can get upsets in races that are tactical, and you get a slow time, they won, you think, well, perhaps if they'd gone all out, that look, he wouldn't have even been in this in the finish screen. But Luke ran 1:44. Like, we're going sub
Yeah.
1:45. He is flying, and like, it's a bit like in the horse racing, where it's not often the person who goes out to the front, they don't often get across the line first. And it felt inevitable watching Pete sort of come up alongside him. You think, oh,
Yeah.
yeah,
Here we go.
I've seen this story before. I know how it plays out. And I think going into that race, I really thought Peyton Craig was probably the form athlete of that one. Maybe not the favorite, but it's probably like someone that, if I was allowed to gamble, that's where I would have invested a couple of dollars in Peyton Craig. So look, to see, I mean, Luke, Peter and Peyton all ran really well. I think Peyton finished third in 1:45.76. So yeah, but look, once again, Luke is 21, Peyton's what, 18, 19? And
Yeah.
Pete's the elder statesman, and he's 30. So, yeah, like,
That's right.
the depth again in 800 meter racing is like, wow. So, and Luke
Yeah.
Boys with a hell of a story too that not many people would be aware of. So,
Yeah, he's come
hopefully,
from cricket, I think, as well.
yeah. Oh, and look, and if it doesn't work out, he's going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, I know. He's got a lot of things going for him.
ticking a lot of boxes.
Yeah. The like I feel like I should have said this in my highlights, but the women's 800 similarly just insane, and just you couldn't pick a winner in this race. Like Katrina Bissett took it out really hard, and then Abby kind of took the lead, and you thought, oh, maybe Abby's got it, and then Claudia Hollingsworth comes through with her massive kick with like 50 to go and runs 158.4 for another under 20 Australian record
Oh.
PB. Like, and all four, like the first four runners, all sub 2 minutes. Like,
Yeah, and you
yeah.
think when Tamsin Manu, or Tamsin Lewis, was, I guess, our featured 800 meter runner, we kind of had like 2 minutes sub. Anything under 2 minutes, like 1:59.99, that was kind of the benchmark. Oh yeah, you're running well. There's four girls did it in the one race.
Yeah,
And it's like, holy shit.
it was absolutely
Like,
wild.
whoa.
I reckon my hair was like standing up on my arms for those races. I was just like, this is insane.
Oh, and look, 800s are where it's at. I never want to run another one for the rest of my life. But geez, I love watching 800 meter races.
They are so good to watch.
Action-packed weekend from
Action-packed.
nationals.
Yeah.
Still buzzing. I definitely get a sense that there's the adrenaline, the heart rate has picked up
Yeah.
in the last 10 minutes. But I guess from my perspective, I really do hope that the momentum that athletics in Australia has at the moment can carry through to the Olympics, and then it goes to another level. I'm interested to see how it plays out. I don't think it's had this level of hype this early out from the Olympics in my memory. Now, it's recency bias aside, But yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. You look through some of the other events too, and like the fields, the depths in the fields at nationals. I know it's an Olympic year, so yes, absolutely valid reason why that was the case. But I can't remember that many races being that stacked with good athletes. Like normally you would look at and go, look, we've probably only got two people who deserve to qualify, and hopefully they run fast enough that we can take both of them. Whereas, throughout, and it just got the longer the races went, like the further longer the distance, it seemed the more like world-class athletes that we've got. I mean, the 5,000 meters for women, my God. Like, and just a quick, this is the top 13. Rose Davies won, then you've got Lauren Ryan, the Australian record holder for 10K, second. Morty Skyring, up and comer, another member of the On Running group. Izzy Bat Doyle, obviously very familiar with her work over the marathon in the last 12 months. She's a 2:23 marathoner. Jenny Blundell feels like she's been around for quite a while, but say that she's only got sort of 29, 30. She came fifth. Leanne Pompeiani, look, had the world at her feet probably 12, 18 months ago and has been through some injury problems. But Leanne at 100% is a phenomenal athlete and probably every bit as good as Rose. Nat Rule, seventh. Jen Gregson, well, she's done some good things in her time, in the sport. Eighth. Amy Bunnage, future superstar, been running for Stanford in the US on the college circuit. Season just gone. Ninth. Holly Campbell. Zoe Buckman, former 1500 meter runner, just rolling a 1558 for the 5K. And then you've got Eloise Wellings. Elsie's been around for a while and done a lot of good things, most recently in the marathon, in 13th. Like that sort of depth. Like normally we go, okay, Rose, Jen, Eloise, and then some really good state-based athletes, but every single one of those people in that top 13 have either represented Australia, or you could look at and go, yeah, absolutely. The Commonwealth Games, a World Cross, all of those sorts of things. If they popped up there, you would not bat an eyelid. So I think it's incredible to have 13 just like that. And obviously at different stages in their career, is, for context. But yeah, I love where running's at in this country at the moment, in case people couldn't tell.
No, I think we're on the same page there for sure.
Going abroad though, Boston Marathon. Arguably one of I mean, look, there's not that many world majors to choose from, but one of my favorites, more so because of the history of the Boston Marathon. And look, you cast your mind back a few years ago, Yuka Kawauchi and Desi Linden, probably the coldest Boston that ever went, where you may have needed Noah's Ark to get from one end to the other. But mate, 20 degrees in Boston that time of year, unheard of, but she was steamy and it was a hot race. Not only in terms of temperature, but the pace was hot early.
Yeah, it looked like it. So Cissé Lemma, who won in the men's, went through halfway in 60 minutes, 19 seconds. Oh, that's hot.
That height, that's on the verge of a world record. That's world record pace. Thank you very much. But managed to hang on. Now the gap did narrow over the second half of the race. And look, the Boston Marathon absolutely dominated. Hot temperatures absolutely going to be dominated by the African athletes, and this was no exception, where I think the top five in both races were you're either from Kenya or Ethiopia. Absolutely, no one's acting shocked or surprised there. But yeah, Cissé Lemma out in 60:19, and then yeah, came home a bit slower, but still won by 40 seconds from Mohamed Issa and Evans Chebet. But then in the women, it was almost the opposite, where it was kind of like a Sunday group one run with the gals, 16 girls still at the lead pack at halfway before Helen Aviri just went, I've had enough of this nonsense, and came home in 70:04 after going out in 72:33. So that pack fell apart in a big way, and she just decided that she'd had enough. Did have some girls go with her, but I was really Sharon Lachetti was only 8 seconds behind at the finish, so she kicked it down pretty strong as well. But yeah,
Cool. Yeah.
that's one way to run a marathon.
I think Sharon Lachetti, she has won New York before, I think. And Helen O'Beery won Boston last year as well. So she was defending her title. But she's such a strong runner. Like, amazing to watch. Doesn't her, yeah, it's always funny when people ask sort of what should my running technique look like, or you know, what should my how can I be the most economical? Because she doesn't have the most economical looking style, but it clearly works very well for her because she knows how to win a race, that's for sure.
She does, and I have no suggestions. I mean, look, just a phenomenal racer, and really, when you're running a world major, that's all it's about. It's just getting to the line quicker than anyone else, and you can pick up some of that cash money. Because yeah, I'm not sure what the official prize money is at Boston, but it's healthy.
Be pretty good, yeah. She had some really cool on athlete. She had some really cool shoes on too. I don't know what they are, if they're coming out soon. Haven't seen any whispers about those.
Possibly a prototype.
Could be.
Possibly. Speculating without a lot of fact checking here, but possibly a prototype that Helen wore. At Boston. Now watch this space on that one. But made it absolutely here for the elites. But as a I guess I know that you've been listening to the show for some time. Boston tends to also be a place where a lot of world records are attempted. And world record chat's probably something we haven't been able to feature on the show recently, but our dear friends at Canadian Running Magazine, we love
No,
them.
our favorite publication.
Literally our favorite and available free for all those people who love Canadian Running Magazine on the internet. No subscription, just log on, go to your search engines, Canadian Running Magazine. Can't go wrong. Well, do we have something for you? Elise, are you familiar with the ma name Matthew Seidel?
Well, is it? I was like, it kind of sounds like Molly Seidel's brother, but that can't be right.
I thought there may have been some family link because Molly loves a turkey trot and dressing up
She
as a turkey.
does.
She's a huge
Yeah.
fan. I love seeing the things that she has organized for Thanksgiving in America when it rolls around. But no, Matthew apparently no relation. However, somehow, some way, the running talents have been transferred at Boston. So Matthew, or Matty as I'm suspecting he prefers to be called, has broken the world record for the fastest marathon in a fruit costume. Now that is pending ratification, but the 27-year-old finished the Boston Marathon Monday morning in his bright yellow banana costume, bananas in pajamas, probably not overly thrilled at the integrity of the costume because it's rather flimsy. And this is your banana that sat in a fruit bowl for a few days too long,
Oh,
needs to be
yeah.
frozen, or it's definitely
It's a smoothie banana. Banana.
it's a smoothie or a banana bread banana. There's not a lot of volume to this one. And just quietly looking at him, he's a bit sweaty and not great to the eye. So absolutely, it's a smoothie banana. But at 2:35, he ran.
That is crazy.
Oh, she be cooking. 2:35. That is quick.
In
So,
20 degrees in a banana suit. That's pretty
oh,
good.
and they've got a quote from the great man as well. So it was his first Boston, and he says, "I couldn't think of a better way to do it." I really? Like,
Not
come
one better
on.
way. Come on.
Nah. It, taking the piss now, like couldn't think of a better way to do it. Like, well, you could have paid the event a bit of respect, but that's another thing. He's 2:35. Like, imagine if he goes back next year, perfect weather, and he goes, oh, I'm actually going to have a proper go. I'm going to dressed properly this time, and goes and lays a 245 and just thinks, well, shit. Where's
Yeah.
just it's bad luck not to be dressed as a fruit.
Then he develops some unhealthy superstition that he can only run races dressed as a banana, which, you know, maybe that's the key. But I do have a serious question for you, Chriso.
Yeah.
If you were to run a marathon dressed as a fruit, which fruit would you pick?
Oh, look, that, I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. I think, and I can see why Matt's gone for the banana, just the, like the long costume, not a lot of width. You can sort of get the arms swinging. It's a smart choice. I think for me, I'd probably go as an apple, just something
Apple.
where, yeah, I like apples. Just something where there's not a lot of pressure to run that well. Like when people look at you and go, oh, you're not going to run well in that. So anything you do is kind of going to be a bit of a surprise. But I don't know if you can run as a specific type of fruit. Like this one's like, I'd go as a pink lady apple because I think they're my
Oh, okay.
favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Definitely
good.
my
Yeah.
favorite fruit, the pink lady. But what about yourself? Is there a fruit out there that you want to go out and represent?
Yeah, actually, I would like to go as a durian, you know, the really smelly fruit.
Oh no.
The fruit that gets banned on public transport. Because I think I'd create some space around me. You know, you wouldn't have those annoying guys who are just drafting off the back.
Is it like one of those raising awareness campaigns for like, you know, like don't hate on this fruit because it smells like it has
Yeah,
a lot of good
exactly.
qualities as well. Now I could just imagine you in a bit of a campaign, like just in the lead up, just doing a bit of fundraising, you know, raising a bit of money just to improve the public awareness around
Yeah,
the
the
durian.
campaign, like, durians are misunderstood.
They are. I mean, look at what you've done for Ernie Old. Since you ran Melbourne in your Ernie Old singlet, they've gone global. And quite frankly,
Wow, what a strong link there.
So imagine what you could do for durian.
There, big things coming. Let's wait for that.
It's the collab that we never knew we wanted.
Yeah, if there's anyone who's a durian representative, please slip into my DMs.
Well, look, anyone that's just eating them on the regular, just for
We'd love
curiosity.
to, yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
We genuinely would. We have some questions, actually, if you do. But look, full credit to Matt. Just for closure on that one, he took 6 minutes off the world record, which was previously set in 2022. So well done. But lo and behold, I'm sure it's getting plenty of publicity off the back of Boston, and there'll be people that run in the high 220s who will now have you in their sights. So
Yeah.
we'll see
We
how
should
long.
we see how long how it holds. We should actually clarify that the previous world record was held by someone dressed as a carrot.
Yeah, no, and that's not.
Oh no. No, he's also dressed as a carrot before.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh my God. Okay, this is getting silly now. Let's move on quickly.
There is one final thing, and this was something that you spotted over the course of the weekend in your haze of fatigue. A bit of a half marathon over in China, and you're familiar with the running scene over in Asia, namely North Korea, but you want to tell us about this one, Elise, and sort of why it's probably hasn't been looked on too favorably.
Yeah, so it was kind of bizarre. It popped up on my Instagram feed, and then I went to look for the story, and lo and behold, it was on Canadian running news.
Of course it was.
Of course it was. Yeah, so there was the Beijing half marathon was on Sunday, and there was an athlete there who was called Ji He, a Chinese runner, and it's just the footage is just of the finish, and you've got Ji He running with this like red top on, and then you've got these three athletes from East Africa. The article doesn't name them, but they're all wearing like a similar kit, so they do kind of look like pace like paces, right? But this is like right at the finish, and generally a pacer would drop off like halfway or at 15K or something. Anyway, what you see is that these pacers are like visibly slowing down for Jihee, who's like struggling, I would say.
Cooked, I believe the term is.
He's quite cooked, but these other guys are like letting him win the race. And now it's actually being questioned by athletics integrity or like some sort of very official body who think that it maybe violates the World Athletics rule that you're not allowed to deliberately let anyone else like win or, you know, change the outcome of an event like that. So yeah. What do you think, Crusoe?
Very curious way they went about it, because I'm thinking like they're there as pacers and they would have been given some very clear instructions. You know, like you're out there with a group run with your mates on the weekend and time flies by and you're like, oh wow, that went quick. I think it's dawned on them, shit, there's the finish line, and this bloke that we're meant to be pacing, we've been given some strict instructions to make sure he wins. And I'm thinking about 5 or 6 minutes earlier, they were meant to just pop on out the back and just jog it in. But because Xi was struggling to the point like where they were slowing down, I mean, nearly had to push him over the line. Like there was they actually had to point to him and tell him where the finish line was, and they waved him through. I've not seen anything like that, except I look at my local park run on Pacer Day. That's acceptable. I've definitely seen plenty of that. But I'm going to say many are questioning the integrity of his victory. I can't, yeah. Like, the word alleged isn't even being used here. But they know full well. They just want them to admit it. So,
yeah, there might have been like a pay situation that needed to be. Some KPIs that needed to be met to get a certain payday too.
I think they
allegedly,
yes, allegedly yeah. realized a little bit too late whilst they were in full view of the camera while Xi was staggering across the last 150 meters.
I know.
Of the half marathon. It's not, and keep in mind that Xi isn't your average fun runner. Like this guy holds a half marathon, or he wanted to break the half marathon record of the Chinese half marathon record of 62:33, but he is a 206 marathoner, so he can run. It's not like they've just tanked it for some guy who runs 85 for a half. Like no, he can actually run. So but it was hilarious because these guys look like they literally just been out for an hour at tempo and like, yeah, no, I feel great.
they
could have doubled.
Yeah, absolutely no work. You need to just like superimpose something on G's t-shirt that says not my day.
Can you imagine the slander that would have been spoken that neither parties would have, I mean, G wouldn't have had a clue what they're saying, but I'm tipping that there wasn't a lot of compliments coming his way.
No, probably not.
Oh no.
Oh dear. No, it does remind me of a quick little memory, and we've been going for ages, so keep it brief, but yeah, from running when I ran a half marathon in North Korea.
Of all places.
I got to watch the end of the marathon. And so I saw the end of the men's marathon. And we were sitting in this stadium, May Day Stadium. There were like 80,000 North Koreans in this stadium. It was absolutely packed. And we see, you know how they have like the lead car with the clock on it? The lead car comes into the stadium, but the lead car goes to the left. And this guy, Katima Bakili Nagasa, who was Ethiopian and like a very good runner, he was winning, and he came into the stadium and he followed that lead car to the left. Meanwhile, there was a North Korean runner behind him, like 30 meters back, called Pak Chol. And Pak Chol came into the stadium and went to the right, and the finish line was to the right. And by the time the Ethiopian guy realized and like doubled back on himself, the North Korean guy had got in front of him and ended up winning the race. And it just looked like the biggest stitch up ever because no one told the Ethiopian runner that he was going the wrong way. Like, people just let him continue oblivious. Like, no one shouted at him. He
Oh,
was just
no.
like, oh, yeah, cool. This is mine. Big payday coming, you know, winning this marathon. And yeah, got pipped at the post. And I felt so sorry for him watching the presentations. He was just standing in second on the dais and his head was bowed. He was not making eye contact with anyone. He was like fuming.
Oh, no. And it's not like you can have a do-over and just go, look, all right.
No.
Guys, we know what meant to happen here, but we're just, let's fix Katima. Here you go, mate. Apologies. Like, nah. Oh,
anyway,
no.
Nothing sus.
Nothing sus at all. But it does sound like some of those things that could only happen in North Korea. I know that Kim Jong-il was rumored to have once played at 18, a round of 18 golf and just had a perfect score of 18, just 18 holes in one.
Oh, wow.
And that
that's pretty good.
I've heard of like stories when the Olympics have been on. There's obviously the North Korean news when just come on and say that North Korea won all the gold medals. And
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
So this doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily shock me, but it's actually a more plausible way. And I do get that, okay, well, the car isn't necessarily going to drive over the finish line, but the fact that no one told him, bloody hell.
I know. I don't know. Terrible.
Mate, it's been a big show. Episode 191 in the books. Thank you so much for filling in for Zaka.
You're
there
so
is
welcome.
rumors of a permanent gig might not be too far away. We'll see. It depends. A lot may depend on how well Zaka's done tonight at his gig. But no, thank you very much. I'm sure the listeners will be most grateful. And yeah, look forward to seeing your fruit costume that you prepare for future marathons.
Oh, thanks. Yep. I'll be debuting that at Gels. So I'll see you there.
Mate, 10 days' time. Can't wait.
10 days' time. Thanks, Chriso. It's
No
been
worries.
Really fun. And we'll chat soon.
Chat soon, mate. See ya.
Bye.